Welcome to episode 6 of Unraveling Karma, an evolutionary astrology podcast to support you in deepening self-knowledge and making changes for the better. My name is Tom Jacobs, and I'm an evolutionary astrologer and psychic medium in Los Angeles, California, USA, Earth. And you can find me on the web at tdjacobs.com. That's like thomasdavidjacobs.com. And I offer two original natal reports, one on the true black moon Lilith and one on emotional healing to prepare for the end of the Mayan calendar of 2012. And I also offer some interesting articles and stuff about evolutionary astrology and stuff. It's cool. tdjacobs.com. Today I have two listener charts for you. The first one is Erin, and her birth date, if you want to follow along, are March 16th, 1977. At 2:25 a.m., and it's in Houston, Texas, is where she was born. And she writes with an astrology question, and then she gives me some background about her life. And the astrology question is, what is going on with... She actually writes, what is the karma that's being insinuated by the North Node ruler Venus on the South Node? And it's there with Chiron... and they straddle the IC in Aries. And then she gives me a couple of details about her life and asking about, what looks like some chaos in her life with being a single mom to three kids. And between the three kids, there are two dads. And each of them, after she got pregnant, went to prison and are now serving life sentences. So she is doing this all by herself and additionally has gone back to school to do nursing, and then after she started doing it realized she probably should be doing something like social work instead. And as she went back to school to do that, chaos at home with her kids getting in trouble and having some stuff happen. So what she may not realize is that the South Node in Aries is everything to do about that. So the karma with the South Node in Aries, the imprinting that someone has when they have the South Node in the sign of Aries, is things have happened fast. In other lives, where she's coming from, people have had to respond to emergencies. Aries is the sign of unmediated action, immediate response. You can't think when you're in an Aries mode. So this is what her karmic conditioning has to do a lot of. It's in the third, but very late in the third, conjunct the IC, the bottom of the heaven. And it's conjunct this retrograde Venus and Chiron, also in late Aries. Details aside, what this tells me is people... because Venus is there, and Chiron, which is woundedness, sensitivity, and also healing, and also all things that are alternative, those things saturated this environment. And this environment, what you could read it in the third, it also needs to be focused on as conjunct the IC, which has to do with home. So what this tells me is Erin has been in different lives defined by what's happening at home. And what's happening at home has to do with Venus, Chiron, and Aries. This is violence. This is accidents. This is all kinds of things that happen to people that are unfortunate, that are wounding events, injuries. Not to paint some kind of doomsday picture, but it's chaos. Things are happening, and people have to respond, left and right without thinking. So when you have an Aries South Node... you come into this life with the ability to respond quickly. Now, how you were imprinted varies. I mean, then what we're going to do next is look at the South Node ruler Mars to talk about her role in those situations. But some people will come in with an Aries South Node and be very affected, in essence, traumatized. People who come from situations of war, whether they are invaders or invaded, dying on battlefields. It can also be a signature of having done athletics or anything physical with a lot of Mars energy. But when Chiron and Venus are there in the fourth house, I'm thinking that this has to do with things that happened where calamity befell people in her family, frankly. So I'm looking at that in her psyche. There is an expectation that things go wrong. Now, she, represented by Mars as the South Node ruler, her role in the karmic past is in Aquarius in the second house. So she actually is very resourceful and original, and she's also very quick thinking. This Aquarius as a mental sign. So she's kind of a can-do person who has no problems being self-reliant, but she's really wondering about why this is happening. And this is all replaying the karmic past. So to move to the North Node, she, and from her studies, she's obviously suspected this question, because she's wondering why the North Node ruler, which indicates ways that you can get to your North Node, the place you haven't done so much of in different lives. You know, that's on the South Node, so how to tease that out. We're talking about teasing out different layers of meaning for Venus. So in one meaning, in the karmic past, Venus saturated the karmic past environment. It's conjunct the South Node. Another layer of meaning is that it rules the North Node, meaning she's got to do Aries, Venus, Chiron, you know, in the fourth house and the third house, in order to get to her North Node. And how to tease that out is that you have to leave behind at the South Node what doesn't work, what isn't healthy, or what doesn't serve you, or what isn't kind of a door opening into the kind of future you want and into the kind of growth you want. And the Venus is retrograde, so we're talking about how relationships are done, who is chosen, what value, you know, who's chosen to have relationships with, what values are in place in the person's life need to be revisited. What I was getting when I was looking at your chart before starting the recording is better at boundaries, making the statement, you know, essentially to life, to the universe, you know, that you're available for certain things, and naming what these things are, the kinds of relationships you're available for, the kinds of experiences, making clear that what is most important to you. In this case, Venus as a North Node ruler indicates also a little bit of calming down. And when you come in with a North Node in Libra or some kind of heavy Venus signature, including Taurus, we need to learn to slow down a little bit, because the opposite signs, right, Aries and Scorpio, are about drama and action. So learning to sort out the Venus things that are good and the Venus things that are not desirable to you is important, especially with the Venus retrograde. What the retrograde means is that something about Venus in the past was overdone. So it could have been the relationship choices just did not get you where you needed to go. You didn't pick the right people or something like this, or they turned out to be not, you know. And in this case, you're impregnated by two men who end up serving life sentences in prison, and, you know, they're not available. So you're partnering with people who were not available, and that reflects the Venus retrograde, definitely, as kind of a karmic replay. The other side of this, how to use this Venus to get to the North Node, it's conjunct Chiron in Aries in the fourth. And some of the new work that I've been doing with Chiron the last few months, starting, I guess, early to mid 2008, has to do with the wounding that we receive in infancy that correlates to Chiron. If you've been listening to this podcast, I think it's come up before, but basically, when we're infants, we are misunderstood or reacted to negatively by somebody who's taking care of us, and we feel their negative reaction as a rejection. So a lot of the core of my answer leads to, you know, all about this Venus on the South Node as the answer, you know, how to get to this Libra North Node, has to do with healing stuff from your own family. So Chiron, as part of this answer, you know, about healing this Venus stuff and moving into the Libra North Node, Chiron in the fourth, anything in the fourth has to do with an inheritance that we've received from our families, from our family system. You know, whether or like energetic inheritance, essentially, information, attitudes, ideas, energies, predispositions. And so you have Chiron in Aries in the fourth. So there's some stuff for you when you're growing up to be looked at, if it's not already processed and understood, about in what ways people in your family did not deal with their pain, their suffering, and did not come out of difficult circumstances and turn those things around by shifting their consciousness. So you indicate to me by the message that you sent that you're very aware of how these things work, and that there is something that's working, you know, of a bigger, on a higher level. So for you, there's Chiron in the fourth, healing about that stuff. I'm writing about it now, so stay tuned to the podcast and my website for new information on Chiron. But essentially, when you were young, you basically took on some woundedness stuff from your family, from at least one of your parents or their parents or your siblings, somebody who was kind of experiencing some chaos, who experienced a loss of will, kind of a deflation of the expression of will, because we're talking about Aries, and perhaps didn't feel like he or she or they had the right to exist, because one of the things about Aries is making the statement that I exist, and the Chiron woundedness can lead us to edit that for fear of not being loved if we make that statement. So there's some Chiron healing for you to shift how you understand Venus energy. Now, that South Node's in the fourth, so the North Node's in the tenth. I'm sorry, yeah, the third, the ninth, but it's conjunct the midheaven. So this does have to do with bringing yourself into the world in, you know, with a calmness, with a deliberation as well, because as Aries has to make snap decisions constantly, Libra weighs things and then makes a choice, hopefully makes a choice and isn't just standing there, you know, looking at the menu in perpetuity, unable to decide. But this idea of calming down and being deliberate and making a choice, understanding what the options are and not reacting absolutely quickly in every case. So another, just to close out, another thing I want to point you to for your own studies is giving you some keywords for this Moon Saturn opposition that you have. Moon, it's just at the end of the first house in Aquarius, opposing Saturn. And Saturn is also with the asteroid Pallas Athene in Leo in the seventh. And just one of the things about, and it's also a T-square with Uranus, but I'm just want to talk about this opposition for a second, because we're talking about the seventh house, you know, about relationships correlated to Venus. One of the things this Aquarius moon wants freedom, and it's, you know, first, second house. If it's in the first house, we say, you know, independence, your own freedom. If it's in the second house, it's about, you know, freedom to express and pursue your own value system. And this opposition with Saturn, you know, we have to do what the moon says in order to be happy. We have to do what the Saturn says in order to be mature. And so this opposition has something to do with what's happening with you not being supported, feeling like you have to go it alone. This moon says, I need to be independent. And the Saturn, you know, says, yeah, but look at all this responsibility you have to other people. So just to point you in that direction for your own studies later. Thank you for writing, and I hope that opens some doors for you. Oh, no, hey, hold on one sec. Wait a minute. A couple more things. One of the things that I noticed with some progressions for you, so, you know, look these up, think about these. Progressed ascendant is conjunct the moon. So in that dialogue with Saturn, this progressed ascendant, the progressed ascendant is your evolving style. So your evolving way that you present yourself. It's on the, you know, just about at the second house, which has to do with your own value system. But when it comes to the moon needs to be brought out in you. So more of you taking care of yourself as well, because we're talking about the first and second house. And then the other thing is the progressed sun is now conjunct the IC, the bottom of the heaven. And that's what we've been talking about with this Venus Chiron business. So it's really time for you to integrate all the stuff about this Venus Chiron, all relationship wounding, all of the having to respond to chaos, all of the other people's pain that you have taken on and absorbed and somehow, you know, accepted as an inheritance from your family. It's really time in your life to really process all that and move beyond it. Okay, now I think I'm really done. And the next listener chart is listener question is from Melissa. And for those of you following along, Melissa's birthday are December 17th, 1987 in Belleville, Illinois, Belleville, Illinois. And the time is 2:03 a.m. And Melissa's asking what might be the source of her general mood of apathy. And if I could offer some advice on what could help spur her in any direction or ideas as to why her intellectual curiosity is not matched by her physical energy or ambition. So the first thing to look at is talking about physical energy and, you know, apathy. The opposite of apathy is, you know, the expression of will. You know, so I go to the first house and I'm looking at Moon, Pluto, Mars, all in Scorpio in the first house. So I'll spend some time teasing this out. Pluto is the marker of the soul's greatest desire, the soul's deepest desire and also intention. So basically for anybody, somebody comes into, you know, gets him or herself born on, you know, the earth deal. This trip basically has to do a lot with figuring out how to do our Pluto thing. Pluto is a soul's desire. It's also the marker of the soul's greatest wounding. And I tie this together. These are from two ideas or ideas from two guys who do evolutionary astrology who, when they sit down, they realize they're both talking about the journey of the soul. They just kind of get their different ways. And the way I think of it is that when you go for what you truly, truly want and it doesn't work, you are scarred from it. You're so vulnerable from having gone for something major. And so then your hesitance to do it later again is, you know, seriously hampered. Your willingness goes away. So we're all trying to do our Pluto thing, and we're all terrified of doing it. And at different parts of our lives, you know, we're all in different stages of this. And so for Melissa, the basic, the soul's desire is Pluto and Scorpio in the first, and it is conjunct this moon, Mars. So in the first house, we're talking about independence, leadership, the use of the body, and the expression of will. And if you've been listening to these podcasts at all, or you have studied any karmic astrology, you might understand that the symbols operate on multiple levels. They operate multidimensionally. So if in a past life you misused first house energy, let's say that you were in a leadership position and you made a decision that made it look like you misused power. Here we are, Pluto, Scorpio in the first. Even if you didn't, the perception of it is enough to cause a wounding. In this life, all first house things, including you know, physical activity, will be affected by that. So if you can see that, you know, if you can open up and see that there are a bunch of different ways these things manifest, and just what's happening now is a reflection of, but not necessarily a total repeat of what happened in the karmic past. When Mars is in the first, we're talking about the expression of will. We're talking about a lot of physical energy. When Moon is in the first, we're talking about carried in the body is also this lunar sensitivity. The Moon is, you know, indicative of nurturing, and, you know, people say it's the family and the mom. Essentially, what the Moon is about, though, evolutionarily speaking, is making yourself happy. We have to do what the Moon symbolizes in our chart in order to be happy. We have to do what the Mars in our chart symbolizes in order to feel physically okay, and energetically, like all the energy is moving through us and things don't get blocked up. And we also have to do that too. We have to use our will. We have to use Mars and use our physical bodies so that we don't feel used by Mars energy. Because whatever we're not doing in our charts is going to happen to us anyway. And then for Pluto, yeah, the soul's desire. I think what I'm kind of looking at is you have a karmic experience in some other life where you used your will, you did what you thought was best, and it had to do with what was important to you, what made you happy, Moon, and it ended up being an abuse of your will, like abuse of your own power, essentially, because we're talking about Scorpio. Scorpio is also about integrity and authenticity and honesty. So it could be that you found yourself in a situation where you could not be honest and get out of it and survive. And so perhaps you massaged the truth. Perhaps you made a decision that got other people in trouble or got yourself in trouble. But this expression of will, this willingness to use your body and your personality here, you know, actively, apathy basically, is a response to this this Mars-Pluto-Moon business. Because if you never do anything, you never make a stand, you never make a decision, you know, you never develop a goal and go after it, you can't do what in the past looked like messing it up. Like, you can't make that mistake again. But I'm telling you, with Pluto in the first, you really need to make peace with the fact that you carry a lot of physical energy and that you you came here to learn how to authentically express yourself, really authentically express your will and who you are. And just one other thing, we hear that this, you know, Scorpio is about intensity. We also hear it's about sex and death and other people's money, that kind of thing. You know, ultimately, what Scorpio is really trying to do is to dig below the surface of whatever is happening to find out what's happening beneath that. The ultimate goal of Scorpio is to get as close to something, someone, or, you know, an idea as possible. And it really, Scorpio really, a healthy Scorpio energy really recognizes that if you go into anything, if you penetrate into the truth of an idea, if you bond with a person, you are going to ultimately bond with, you know, penetrate into and bond with the source. So we're talking about God and Goddess. It's the underlying thing about Scorpio. If you think, you know, when you're a Scorpio energy and you have a heavy Scorpio signature here, you know, that it's about bonding with someone, it's because, you know, you think that they can get you to back to the source because you're trying to find out what's behind everything. The healing for you in this Pluto business, this coming out of apathy, rests entirely on you being willing to make a stand about something, to develop into, you know, to use your physical energy, to risk, you know, really inhabiting your body and understanding that you don't have to do whatever it was in the karmic past that didn't work out. You don't have to repeat that. But you really do need to run this energy in your body. And you do need some intensity. You need a lot of physical activity. But you also need to really care for yourself. This is Pluto Moon in the first house. You know, emotions are intensified. So you really need to actually move physically in order to be able to process emotions, if you can see that link. Another layer of apathy in your chart is you have the South Node in late Virgo in the 12th house. The ruler is what I want to talk about. It's Mercury, and it's conjunct the asteroid Lucifer that I work with. It's about the desire to serve something bigger, or the refusal to serve what we know is bigger than us. And it's really a choice of, you know, forget evil, forget Satan, forget the devil. It's really about the choice to serve what we know is good, to be of service to the world or something, or life or goddess or, you know, insert name of deity here. And so that's conjunct Mercury. And then also the asteroid Eros, the planet Saturn, your sun, and Uranus. So you as Mercury have all those energies blended together. Lucifer, by the way, is asteroid 1930, and Eros is asteroid 433. So you have all those blended together, and all of those are pretty tight, and they're all opposing Chiron in Gemini in the ninth house. And all of these things are square the nodal axis, as is Chiron square the nodal axis. So this is another reason to choose apathy, because you are a Sagittarian figure, Mercury, and you believe things. And this is a karmic past, and you're passionate about it, and you're working hard, and you are bringing a lot of energy to it, just naming all these bodies that are in this stellium. And you are being opposed by a Chiron in Gemini in the ninth house. The first thing when I looked at that is, dogmatic religious figure who's not listening to you. Like all of your passion falls on deaf ears. And so again, one of the ways out of this is to catch your habits. Whenever we have squares to the nodal axis, we have to learn to make different habits with them, because we're usually blindsided by the energies. We don't know how to respond to something about these energies. We're good at it, but there's something about it we need to learn. So for you, about issues of belief, communication, having a vision of the future, having an ideal to live by, it doesn't have to be religion, but it does have to be some kind of overarching principle, law, philosophy, some kind of idea that you can use to have some kind of hope for the future. So all those things opposing from the third and opposing that in their skip steps, unresolved issues in the karmic story. So regarding all those things I named that are square the nodes, you have to learn to make some different choices with them. So withholding all of your energy so that you don't risk coming out on the wrong end of some argument about belief isn't going to get you anywhere. So you kind of have to untangle, kind of unravel the karma that you have about feeling like you're either blocked when you express what you truly believe in, or that's not worth it because nobody's going to hear you. So that's where your healing is in for that. So that takes us. Oh, thanks for writing. And I hope that that's useful to you, Melissa. Thank you. And that takes us to the end of episode 6. My name is Tom Jacobs, and you can find me on the web at tdjacobs.com. Take care.